Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opal, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
Students have clashed with the Dublin City Manager over remarks he made in response to concerns about UCD student accommodation being converted into short-term tourist accommodation. In a letter to Rory Power, the UCD Students' Union President, Owen Keegan said he was surprised that the union hasn't entered the property market in order to provide lower-cost accommodation for its members if it believes excess profits are being made from student lets. The remarks were later branded sarcastic by the Higher Education Minister, Simon Harris. Tom McEnany is a former journalist and a media consultant, and he joins me on the line now. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Claire.
Now, you think that Owen Keegan might be on to something here. Is that right?
Absolutely. But I think he came on to it perhaps accidentally. I think his comments were perhaps ill-advised and ill-judged. But there's absolutely no reason in the world why students shouldn't be providing accommodation for students. In fact, there's a long history in most countries in Europe of students providing accommodation for students, often using a cooperative model. And Ireland is one of the few countries in Europe which hasn't gone down that road.
And do you really think now that Owen Keegan was suggesting that, or was it more of a tongue-in-cheek comment?
Well, you know, it was obviously Owen Keegan's remarks were ill-judged. And it's a pity. It's a pity in a number of ways. One, because when you look at the detailed coverage of the exchange, it's obvious that he gave what in other ways was a very considered and lengthy response. But some of the comments, not just that one, but some of the other comments showed a certain frustration by Owen Keegan on Owen Keegan's part towards the Students' Union. But in general, the idea of students engaging constructively with the crisis in housing, which is, of course, a crisis in student housing, is a very good one. And one would like to see, and I think there's great potential for students to engage constructively, not to be having a go with the council or its executive team, but to be engaging constructively with the council and saying, right, how can we work this out?
Yeah, but I mean, like the reaction yesterday, and it's hard to disagree with some of the tweets, you know, asking why don't we ask the toddlers to build their own creche or the angry commuters to build their own metro. I mean, they were said tongue in cheek too, but like it's not a good idea to outsource our infrastructure problems to people who are in college, essentially, learning to do stuff rather than asking them to build the homes now.
It's absolutely a good idea. And the fact is, Claire, it works. It works in every other country, unless you believe that there's something that Irish students are in some way less capable than students in Germany or Portugal or the UK, then of course it's a good idea.
Tell me how it works. Tell me how it works in those other countries.
So my understanding, and it's a little bit dated, I looked at setting up my own student housing cooperative back in the 80s. And at that time, what would happen is students would get together, they might get bank financing in many cases they'd be supported by the government because they'd be technically a housing association. And then the students themselves would run the accommodation. So there would be a committee made up of student representatives who are themselves tenants. But of course, you would have professional input. So it's not all about parties and running riot. They can be run just as professionally as any other accommodation.
Yeah, but are students not supposed to be devoting their time to learning, having fun, having life experiences? I mean, really, do they need to become, or are we expecting them to become, property investors and speculators when they're 18, 19, 20?
Okay, well, there's a couple of things. First of all, I'm not talking about property speculation, because it doesn't have to be about a market, especially if you're using a cooperative model. And the other thing is, you mentioned, aren't students supposed to be developing life experience? Well, yes, of course they are. And getting involved in providing accommodation to students is one such life experience. Mm-hmm. Student unions around the country are already providing supports to students in a number of ways. This would be just one other way. But I'm not suggesting that they do it without bringing expertise on board. Indeed, they'd struggle to get any financing if they didn't bring proper expertise on board. But I think if they were to try it properly, if they would go to other student housing associations, student housing cooperatives in other countries, look at how they're doing it, they only have to go as far as Northern Ireland to see successful models for student housing cooperatives and take that expertise back to them, talk to the local authority. I'm sure they'd be facing an open door if they went to Owen Keegan and said, look, we have a serious idea. I'm sure he might be delighted to say, okay, let's put the bandits to one side. And let's sit down and see if we can do something about it.
What happened to your own attempt, Tom, to do this in the 80s?
A couple of things. First of all, I did get bank financing. I secured a loan. My original plan was to lease a building, so it was to prove the concept before buying a building. I looked at a number of buildings in what was then Temple Bar, which was lined up for a bus station at the time.
Tom, but one second. What age were you when you were doing this?
19.
Okay, off you go. Yeah, Tom.
So first of all, I had to put together a business plan. So I went to Northern Ireland. I talked to SHAC, who were Student Housing Association Cooperative. I learned a lot about how cooperatives were run. I put it down on paper. I identified a property in North Inner City that was run by a group of nuns. And I went to them and said, look, this is lying idle. I could put about 100 students in there and I want to prove this concept. And they said, yeah, absolutely. If you come to us with a good plan and if you're able to bring the money together. So I went to them, drew on expertise from a number of people, including a very senior architect who came around and make sure that I was complying with all the fire regs, all of that kind of thing. Put together a detailed plan. Went to the bank, which was the biggest part of it. The bank came back and said, here's 10 reasons why we're rejecting your proposal. And I said, thank you for engaging with me constructively. Now, here's my response on all of those 10 reasons. And I just went back to the drawing board, did it all again, went back to the bank and said, now, there you go. I've addressed all of your concerns. And they said, fair enough. There's your money. Unfortunately, Claire, and it's something I've regretted many times in my life, I made a mistake. I had such a wonderful business plan. I mean, I had such a wonderful business plan. I made the mistake of sharing it with the nuns in question. And the nuns in question agreed that this was a wonderful business plan and decided they'd set up student accommodation themselves, but on a profit basis rather than on the cooperative model that I was looking at.
So you were scuppered.
I was scuppered. And as a student, as a welfare officer in Trinity at the time, there were so many other draws on my time and attention. It was a time when the abortion information campaign kicked off in the late 80s, that I really didn't feel like going back to the drawing board and starting all over again. But I believed at the time, Claire, and I continue to believe now, that it's something that could work and should work.
Mm-hmm. And you didn't go and spend the loan then on a wild party or anything?
I didn't actually draw down
the
loan. I'm not saying there weren't a few wild parties, Claire, but there weren't at the bank.
You see, Tom, I think the example, your own case there, that's a real exception. I mean, students are there to study, not really to manage a type of hostel student accommodation. I mean, you spoke there about the demands on your time. Most students wouldn't be able to get their head around doing something like that, would you agree?
Well, you're absolutely right. And most students wouldn't want to, whether they could to or not. But you tell me that a class of MBA students out of UCD or out of Trinity couldn't get their head around, wouldn't jump at the chance of doing this, or getting real-life experience. Mm-hmm. A group of even undergraduate business students from any of the colleges wouldn't jump at the chance of getting involved in this. And along the way, Claire, having accommodation.
Yeah, I mean, you know, quite possibly, you're right. But can we talk about the reason that the students wrote to the city manager in the first place? They were asking whether the council should be allowing this purpose-built student accommodation to be used for short-term lets for tourists. What's your view on that?
I see the concerns. I would be a little bit concerned about accommodation that goes up specifically for students and then being used for a tourist accommodation, particularly in the long term. I would have no problem with it happening, say, during the summer months when there aren't students around. But I would have a problem with turning around accommodation, which is only granted planning permission on the basis that it would be solving a specific problem for students, being just thrown into the general market. So I would have an issue with that. But I would also say that, and I've read the detailed reports in relation to the exchange between students and the city council, where they make remarks about the leadership of Dublin City Council without fully understanding how the planning system works. And I would say if they want to engage with City Council, and they should, in fact, they have a responsibility to engage with the City Council, their engagement should be more, should be better informed and less ill-tempered. Now, that said, so should Owen Keegan's, and he's a professional. He's been around the block for a while. I'm sure he's regretting the tone of parts of that letter, and I'm sure he's sorry they didn't get somebody to give it a read before he
Well, we don't know. He could be happy with it. We haven't heard from him since, but we would love to. Tom, it's certainly an interesting take on the whole issue. Thank you so much for joining us. Tom McEnany there, former journalist and media consultant. Julie says in the 90s she attended college in France. We got our housing through the students' union. It was common there and it worked really well. Let's take a quick break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.